Hello, respected viewers. I'm George from Ireland, so thank you for tuning in once again. So in this video, I'm asking whether President Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin is desperate, because just today, he made a public statement, and he called upon security services in Russia to step up their hunt for traitors, spies and saboteurs. Then there must be this huge wave of espionage. Is he really that paranoid? I think to some extent he is, but there's another part of this. This really is scapegoating. There's a witch hunt, because he can't face up, or certainly not the public, to face up to the blindingly blatant explanation that the war is going badly because of him, because he's failed. It was misconceived. They made some strategic blunders. They greatly overestimated their offensive capability. They underestimated the capacity of the Ukrainians to defend themselves, and indeed their resolve, thinking that Zelensky's a clown and he'll just flee or surrender. Because look, when Putin had his puppet in there, Yanukovych, in 2014, he hightailed it to Moscow in short order. The same thing would happen. Remember, Russian state media was repeatedly boasting that the Russian army was going to take Kyiv within 48 hours. This is day 300 of the war, and they're still nowhere near. I mean, the border of Belarus is over 60 miles north of Kyiv, and that's where they are. So they're battling in the east. And even President Putin said that the situation in East Ukraine was complicated, i.e. difficult. Now, this doesn't guarantee that Russia's going to lose the war. So because he obviously can't fess up to responsibility, he's running scared, he's cancelled his celebrity ice hockey match, which might have been an example to try and scotch the rumours that he's suffering from Parkinson's and or cancer. His presser, he cancelled for the first time in 10 years. This is often a bravura press performance for several hours, and not all the questions were planted. And there'd be a few Western journalists even throwing him fairly hostile questions where he could bat those away with aplomb. But no, he just doesn't think he can field any tricky questions. It'd have to be so too blatantly choreographed. All agreed in advance, no embarrassing questions about why the war is progressing so slowly, when you're going to win, anything like that, the increasingly difficult economic situation. But let me be clear, as Cameron would say, you know, his regime is not close to collapse. He could yet be ousted, but at the moment there are really no signs of that. It's really only the intelligence services. They've got the leads of power. He's made sure that the army are not close to the center of Moscow. And, you know, it's hard to overemphasize the centrality of Moscow. It's just a highly centralized system, the Russian state, because he's noticed it's usually the army overthrows regimes, not the intelligence services so much. And quis custodiat custodes ipsos, so the spies are spying on the spies. So he has to have a witch hunt, because they're saboteurs, they're of foreign agents, things like that. There are people backstabbing them. It has to be, they can't be that his army is underperformed, and so blame is deflected down. Remember, it was John F. Kennedy said, victory has 1,000 fathers, but defeat is an orphan, because he will never fess up to the fact that, you know, he is responsible, he is to blame. He's the commander-in-chief. Ultimately, he takes the rap. The generals are getting it wrong, he's got to dismiss them. He's the one who promoted them, and so on. That he didn't prepare the country for this war that he'd been plotting for years, and they haven't won. That they've managed to blunt the effect of sanctions, but it is still hurting the country significantly. And this is a war of end with no end in sight. It's now thought that the Russian top brass believe this is going to be a war for several years, not several months, to gradually grind down Ukraine, and probably even more likely from Russian point of view, to sap the Western will to fund and arm the Ukrainians, to house Ukrainian refugees. That eventually governments will be voted into office in various Western governments, and these chancelleries, the new Western government will say, we're no longer arming Ukraine, we're no longer funding Ukraine, we want cheap energy, we'll cut a deal, we'll sell the Ukrainians down the Swanee to get cheap oil and gas. Now, I mean, Western Europe and North America, they're actually moving away from oil and gas, not very fast, it's got to be said, but within 30 years, not to use any. And that's actually a realistic target. It might happen a bit sooner, so that they can source oil and gas from elsewhere. But it's difficult, but the price is high because there's limited supply. There's growing demand as the world population gets larger. As the world's enriched, more people are buying more products and services, using more oil and gas, who didn't before. So there's an almost infinitely growing demand, but there's a finite supply. But wind energy, wave energy, and so on, solar power, that is becoming more affordable. The technology is getting cheaper and better. But that's why Putin has to say, oh, it's all saboteurs, to avoid the clear and obvious explanation that it's his failing. So he was speaking to the FSB, you know, Federalная служба безопасности, which is the Federal Security Service, to root out these rats, and the National Anti-Terrorism Committee, terrorism being what most people would call journalism or peaceful protest. And obviously there have been some Ukrainian attacks deep inside Russia. There have been some inexplicable fires, possibly Ukrainian agents. Could even be a false flag by the FSB themselves, just possibly. I think more likely the Ukrainians. I mean, I tend to go for a cock-up rather than conspiracy theory. Okay, maybe they could just be accidental fires. Anyway, to keep an eye on transport and energy infrastructure, Putin is saying, because, of course, Putin's been committing this war crime. He's even said it on television. Yeah, we're deliberately hitting Ukrainian energy infrastructure. And the objective of that is to freeze Ukrainian civilians to death. So this is his war of terror against civilians. This is state terrorism on a very grand scale, make no mistake. So anyway, he's told the FSB to intensify their surveillance of the international border. So, wow, it's not looking good for him when he has to resort to this kind of paranoid rhetoric. And then innocent people are going to be arrested, are going to be slung into jail, tortured, given an unfair trial, convicted of crimes they never committed, just to try and spare the blushes of Putin. Because he's such a coward, he won't face up to responsibility for this illegal war of aggression which he started, which he is not winning. Now, as I say, he might eventually win. But there is a possibility of attacking from Belarus again, opening a new northern front. But there are some experts say he just doesn't have the capacity to do that. You know, the 460,000 supposed to be called up in September. It's thought they didn't quite get those. Some of those are pretty dreadful. Some of those thrown into the conflagration untrained, ill-equipped. And obviously, and a few hundred of them already been killed. That's been proven. But there are others who've been trained a bit more carefully. They're at various military facilities in Belarus. Could they attack in the spring? But, you know, logistics is the Achilles heel. Do they have enough artillery? Do they have enough tanks? Because Russian military doctrine is heavily reliant on artillery. And to surround a city and just pound it and pound it and pound it is a slow but sure path to victory. So there could be some offensive in the spring. What was I going to say? So in some ways, he is a little bit desperate. But if he can just string this war out, that's it. He thinks he can't win by blitzkrieg. Maneuverability has never been a particular strength of the Russian army. It's really just firepower, numbers, sheer weight of metal. And notably, yesterday, he had his first meeting in Minsk with President Lukashenko for 3 years. The defense ministers were there, and so were the foreign ministers. And it was a day that Russia launched a large-scale drone attack on civilian infrastructure in Kyiv and causing energy blackouts. But anyway, Putin said that the two countries were united by common history and spiritual values. Lovely. So he's propping up this tyrant there. And Putin said, no, we're not going to, we're not trying to accomplish the fusion of Belarus and Russia, which is preposterous. As the United States pointed out, that Russia's effectively taken over Belarus already. Is he going to manipulate the Belarusians to attacking as well? Because he doesn't have many forces left. This is sort of his last card he can play. You know, trying to freeze Ukrainians to death, I mean, it's causing them problems. It might have killed a few of them, but it's not breaking them. And so that's why he might try and say to the Belarusians, I've helped you. You've got no other option. You've just got to do this. And would that be enough to tip it over for Russia to win the war? I think even if Belarus came in, probably not. It's quite small, it's quite ill-equipped, it's got no experience part of the Soviet Union. So I'm determinative of the outcome of the war, the Ukrainians. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my talk. I noticed another four Jehovah's Witnesses were giving very long prison sentences. So they are being persecuted for their faith. They are prisoners of conscience. Russia persecutes religious minorities, which is the most appalling bigotry. People should be allowed to believe whatever they want, profess whatever faith they want. And what really for us, don't believe in their faith myself, but they're not bad. Right, thanks so much for watching. Please donate on PayPal, JohnCallahan79.